You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Pastor Richard Ellis. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Richard talks about the hope of the gospel unlike anyone else. Now, at the end of today's program, we'll share an exciting and challenging Now Let's Go Do Easter opportunity with you. And if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So let's jump right in with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Pick a Winner. All right, turn to Romans chapter 7. Now, let me kind of, before we jump in today, let me kind of give you either some explanation or a disclaimer of some kind and tell you where we're going and where this is coming from. I don't get sermons off the internet, find a little outline and come, you know, lay it down here. I don't go read a bunch of commentaries and paste something together. Hopefully what, at least for me, should be going on is some of this is coming out of my own experience where I am still growing, and I can assure you I am still growing and learning. And something very interesting happened to me pretty recently. I go at least once a year for about 6 months. For about a year, about every 6 months, I was going to the doctor. And he does all his poking around and, you know, the very delicate things that you go to the doctor for. And at the end, he kind of always asks me this question. He throws you on the scale, which is can be a humiliating thing, depending on, you know, what your mirror's saying back at you. Puts me on the scale. And he weighs me, and I go, wow, I'm very consistent in being overweight. And, you know, there it is. And then he kind of starts this discussion, which he, you know, are you exercising? Well, you know, I walk at night from the bed to the bathroom sometimes. You know, there's some exercise, I'm sure there, not really any vigorous exercise. And then the whole thing about, you know, how tall are I? I'm like, dude, you know how tall I am. Are we going to do this again? And he's got his chart. And on his chart, it says if you're 6'1", 6'2", whatever it is, you should weigh a certain weight, right? Everybody know what I'm talking about? Ever seen these? Maybe you're not old enough to have had this experience. So he, you know, he looks, clearly he knows what my weight is at the time. And then he looks at his chart, and it's about 40, 45 pounds difference. And I'm thinking, I make all my jokes, oh, if I weighed that, I'd blow away. Well, I didn't blow away at my wedding when I weighed that. And I haven't grown any taller since then. So I go to the doctor. I go through all this stuff. He talks to me about all these health issues, what I should be doing, what's going on. And I listen and laugh and make some jokes and pretty much walk out going, yeah, maybe one day. Well, something happened the other day when I went to see him. And we went through this whole spiel again. And I thought to myself, you know, if there are things that I eat, there are lifestyle things, if there's fuel that I'm putting in my body that, you know, you wouldn't even put in a car, in a gas tank, you know, how is that affecting my body? And am I really taking myself out of the game, either lifespan or health, quality of life, way before it's time? And I don't know how this works. You say, oh, God's sovereign and he knows when everybody's going to live or die. I agree with that. But I don't want to show up and he go, what are you doing here? You know, I know how you got here and I'm sovereign and everything, but you weren't supposed to be here like another 15 years. What are you doing here? I say, well, you're all that red strawberry licorice. I think that might have added up, you know. The doctor starts talking about diabetes and all these things. And you go, that ain't going to happen to me. That ain't going to happen to me. Eat, drink, be merry. Tomorrow we die, right? But something happened to me today. And I walked out of that doctor's office, and I made a decision. No emotion. I made a decision. And I said, me and God kind of had a conversation, and I said, I'm going to lose a pound a week for a year then. Now, you say, ooh, how are you going to do that? Same way anybody does it. You make a decision. Who controls what goes in my mouth? The same person who controls what comes out of my mouth. You say, well, is that you? Shouldn't be. It should be him. He should be controlling what's going in and what's coming out. So that day, no more Cokes, no more soft drinks. You know, it doesn't mean I haven't snuck a sip when the girls weren't looking. You know, just to remember, get a hit off of that. You don't have to get crazy with it, you know. But something's happened to me. I'm going to try to explain in my own kind of raw way the process for me. What I didn't know is when I exercised my will in that one little thing and I begin to win, that overcoming some bigger obstacles all of a sudden wasn't any big deal. Now here's what I'm going to try to explain today. The reason you feel like a loser a lot of time is that you are a loser, because you don't win anywhere, and you've got to start winning somewhere. Because if you start winning somewhere, then winning breeds winning. There's something about surviving a test. You pass a test. I mean, I took plenty of tests, said something earlier about going taking tests. You know, if you walk into a test with confidence, you know the answers, you take the test and you get a great grade or 100 on the thing. You go, wow, that feels great. You want to do that again. But if you keep taking tests and getting an F, your paper comes back, big old red letters. Man, I remember seeing this. They don't write little small Fs on papers. Big Fs. They crossed the line, you know, big Fs. I've even gotten F pluses. That's not even possible. But if you ever get a D, you say, well, you're talking about getting A's. I'm just talking about starting to pass, maybe. Finish a race. Do something. Now go to Hebrews chapter 12, and let me read you some verses out of 12:1 and just the first part of this. And I've been trying to even find an explanation biblically about this, what I experienced and maybe what's going on. And this is as close as I can get so far, but Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And if you go back, read Hebrews 11, some of you know it by heart almost, some of you don't even know, have a clue where Hebrews is, and some of you may not even know if you do that, what is in 11. 11 talks about all these people of faith, and they had faith, and amazing things happened. You think, wow, I want to have faith. Well, if you read the second part of Hebrews 11, not everybody had faith that it turned out good for. Some people were sawn asunder. Horrible things happened to them. So just because you believe doesn't mean it's all going to turn out good. It can be very painful. But he describes, lists a bunch of people. There's whores in the list. There's all kind of crazy people in the list who turn to God. Then he says, the first word of Hebrews 12:1 is, therefore, because of all these people in chapter 11, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, since we got like this stadium filled with these people of faith watching us, cheering us, not going, ah, you'll never make it, you big losers. Because they were losers too that finally figured out a way to win. Since we've got this great cloud of witnesses, and then this is the phrase that I've been trying to figure out this week. What I've always focused on in this is it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. I have been so focused with the sin that so easily besets me or ensnares me that I missed the first little phrase. Now let me start with a little survey, and I don't ever get usually everybody's hands raised because someone's afraid not to look holy. If you know what is or what was, and we'll allow for you being all perfect now, what is or what was the sin that so easily besets you, there's one thing that just takes you out your whole life. If you know what that is or what it was, and it's all better now, would you please raise your hand? Can everyone almost in the room identify what that is? Everybody knows what that is? Okay? Here's my premise then today. Before you go attacking that little phrase, then let's work on the first one. Let us lay aside every weight. I was so busy trying to attack the big monster, and I'd get knocked down, because I didn't have any legs under me. And if you finally pick a spot, you say, God, for some reason, the sin that so easily besets me, I'm getting nowhere with that. Can we start with something else? See, we're attacking what we think we're supposed to attack. You might need to have a little talk with Jesus and find out what he'd like to attack before you go attacking something. There is such a thing, possibly, as spiritual minor leagues. You take an 18-year-old kid who can throw a baseball, hit a baseball, he is the man. Take this little boy, and you take him from high school ball and throw him into the big house, the big leagues, in front of the bright lights and the cameras and everybody. He might completely freak. There are not many 18-year-old kids who can jump from that to the big leagues, right? So what happens? You got college. You got farm teams. You got these places where they get their legs under them, get used to the crowd, get used to the process, feel comfortable. Then when they get in that place, they don't freak out. They're not overwhelmed. You may be trying to hit the big leagues, and you just need to throw some ball and get used to winning in a smaller venue. So I could probably quit in just a second, but I'm not going to, because you're going to get your money's worth today. I'm asking you to pray a simple prayer and say, Lord, I'm tired. I'm supposed to be running this race. I'm already exhausted. I'm tired. But see, the thing is, this isn't 100 yards and then you're done. It isn't even 200 yards. It's not even one lap. You may run a couple laps in front of the crowd, and then he says, okay, the arrows are pointing outside the stadium. And you run that way. And where does that go? You just keep running. And the Bible here describes it as the race that is set for you. See, I'm not running your race, and you're not running my race. I am not competing with anybody on the planet. I'm just trying to run the race that he set before me. And I got obstacles he's put for me. And my sin that so easily besets me, probably not your sin. I would say this, that if we went around the room, and at least with guys, if I said, what is the sin that so easily besets you? There's a good chance that over 90, 95% of the men would raise their hand and say lust or sex or something. Right? Didn't think I'd get much agreement there. Now, in the average man, I'm telling you, you're going to get clobbered with this probably till the day you die. All I'm asking you, say, well, I'm not winning there. Then let's find some place you can win. And say to the Holy Spirit, look, I'm tired. It started out okay, and then the devil started beating my head in again. So could we try something on a little smaller scale where I can kind of get my legs under me? And I'm telling you, it is his kindness, it is his gentleness that leads us to repentance, and I bet you'll get you an answer. And for mine, it was something I could do. I could look at a Coke or a candy bar, specifically Mr. Good Bars. You know, and I've walked into some 7-Eleven. You say, well, God doesn't care. You know, what's a candy bar? It ain't going to kill you. As many as I was eating might. See, the other advantage I have is I've spent the last maybe 15 years just sucking it up. I go to therapy and they talk to me about doing core exercises. I do core exercises all day. Just sucking my gut up. People say, oh, it looks like you're losing weight. Anybody can tuck their shirt in really good and then pull it out just a little bit. See? See, you can't tell what's me. And people say, well, what's your waist measurement? It depends on where you're measuring, you know? I've seen guys, you know, they say, well, I wear a 32 pant. I say, maybe down there you do. You go about 4 inches, brother, you're about a 48. On the circumference of the earth at the equator, you're measuring down the Tropic of something. You're up at the equator, something else going on. So I'm getting away with whatever. You know, I look in the mirror and say, well, I could weigh less, but you know what? I look fine. Who cares? But you know what? It's not best. It's not healthy. And my doctor says, I said, so if I want to lose a pound a week, you know, we're getting this conversation. What is, you know, is it exercise? Is it not primarily? It's diet. It's what you're putting in your body. You say, well, good for you, Richard. I'll pray for you over lunch today at the all we can eat when I raise my flag, you know. I'll be praying for you. See, maybe your deal isn't food. You got a big deal, and then you got these every weight. So when I'm in my case, it is my weight, not every weight, it is my weight. That's what God picked for me and said, you know what? Let's try this. Exercise your will and trust me on a daily decision, meal by meal, and let's see what happens. Now, here's the cool thing. The second that happened, doesn't mean I haven't had any problems since, but something dramatic happened in my brain and in my little heart. And because I started making little decisions that affected me and I was making progress and still am, then all of a sudden that big old mountain didn't seem like a big old mountain. Now, does anybody have any idea what I'm talking about yet? See, because you think, well, the big mountain, I can't take it. So woe is me and I'm undone and that's it. You know, I can't do anything. And then you use the defeat of the big one to let all the other ones slide. Well, you know, I'm just a loser. So I guess, you know, God doesn't care about all this. He cares. He just can't get you to do anything because you just let it all go. Ask him to show you one thing. And see, somebody may smoke crack and you smoke cigarettes. You say, well, I can't quit smoking crack. And say, well, maybe I could quit smoking cigarettes. For some people, it's tied to money. I don't know what your deal is. Some people it is food, some people it is sex, some people it is drugs, some people it is alcohol, some people it's pride. You're just full of you, just full of it, and it ain't Jesus. It's just full of you, and you can't conquer it. Start winning somewhere. Well, let's read the rest of this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, all the time ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, the one that's set before you. And how do you make it? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You can't keep your eyes on you. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, as great as that cloud of witnesses, that crowd is in Hebrews 11, it's not that you can be encouraged by them, but don't get your eyes on Moses, because Moses isn't Jesus. Don't get your eyes on Abraham. Abraham ain't Jesus. He said, well, he's my man. He's my encouragement. No, only Jesus has run and finished this race the way it needs to be done without any problems. So look to him. It's kind of one of those run to daddy things. I'm right here, son. Run to daddy. And if you keep your eyes on daddy, keep your eyes on Jesus, then all the other distractions, I can make it. I can see him one day at a time. I wish I could say to you, you know, you say, well, you're a pastor and elder, all this stuff. You got it all figured out. I don't. And part of the frustration of this is I don't, but part of the exhilaration to me of being alive is I get to go digging too. I get to go to the doctor and walk out and go, wow, this works. I don't have to make up a bunch of stuff. I have to be living it too. I have to be fighting too. I have to be running too. I have to experience. I have to win. Now, am I saying if you figure all this out that you won't ever lose again? You're still going to lose. Go to Romans chapter 7. And in our discipleship stuff that we go through around here, I think in chapter 3, some of this is discussed. And it is very encouraging. And I'm trying to go back to this race thing. You're going to have to leave the blocks, leave the stadium, get out there, and there are obstacles. You will fall. You can get up, but you will fall. And look at this description. Some of you know this by heart too, but some of you never heard it. Romans chapter 7, let's jump in at verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And this is Paul, one of the biggest guns in Christianity, if not the biggest. He says, for what I am doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in your body, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. So if you get in a situation where your big sin or even one of these weights, these burdens that you carry around that you get in a situation, you know you're not supposed to do whatever that is. That third bowl of ice cream at 12:30 at night, you know, whatever it is you're doing. You know something in you says, don't do it. So to will is present with you, okay? The will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. This is Paul writing this down. This is his way of being honest with them, the Romans, and us. Same, I haven't figured this out either. I know what it is, but I am still in the battle. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that's what I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. You know when you usually quote that verse? After the sin has bit your butt. Nobody feels like a wretched man when they're getting sucked in. But the second you give in, the old wretched man that I am, the old wretched woman that I am kicks in and you just feel like crap. Yep. Who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now, am I making excuses then saying you're going to mess up, woe is me, you know? Sin the more that grace may abound. This is not about sinning so you can get more grace. This is about having grace in case you sin, but you're trying to run the race and win the race and shed anything that will keep you from doing that. If you're training, you may carry a bunch of stuff to weigh you down so you can be stronger. And then when you take it all off, you feel light and run. We're not training. We're running the real race. This ain't practice. This is the only life you've got. Run with endurance, but lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily besets you. Get rid of this stuff so you can run. The more you win, the more you want to win. And I've seen this, one of my little girls' soccer teams, they go out and they're kind of the B team, whatever, they cherry pick all these soccer players out and leave these girls, and they go up against these teams, and she comes home frustrated, and we lost again. You let them win one time, they're not interested in losing again. And you see a team that wins all the time, even losing once is a disaster. Pick a winner. Pick something you can win at. But obviously the first winner you got to pick is the real winner, and that is Jesus himself. You pick Jesus, you win. You don't pick Jesus, you live a loser, you die a loser, no matter what you do. All right, let's pray. And our Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the work that you do. Thank you for the things we learn on the racetrack. Thank you, Father, for not giving up on us, for keep coming back, for keep trying, for it is your kindness, your gentleness that leads us to repentance. Help us not be proud, to not be ignorant, to not be stupid, unwise, whatever it is that we come up with, bullheaded, stiff-necked, afraid to admit that we're wrong and that you're right. Help us come to the place and go, God, I can't do this anymore. You got to help me. I got to get back up on my feet and win at something. Father, I pray for anybody listening right now that they would ask you for what that something is. Could be food. Could be buying stuff. Could be language. Whatever it is, Holy Spirit, I know how you do this with me. I'm not sure what you do here and beyond this place. But reveal to people right now what something is that they go, you know what, I know God's been after. It's not the biggest one, but it's a big one. But I think I can make a decision on this. I can stop with his help and get my spiritual legs under me and then maybe graduate to some big leagues later. Father, we want to win, not just so that we'll feel better and our lives will be smoother, but we want to run with endurance this race so that other people can see that this really works and that they too can get in this real game, not even game, Lord, this real life journey with you. Father, we love you. We don't always behave like we do. We're just a bunch of ridiculous kids who are disobedient and run away from home, sneak around like you don't know what's going on, and get ourselves into trouble even when we think you don't know what's going on. We know it's wrong. Thank you for mercy, for forgiveness, and that there is power to win ultimately over sin, death, the grave, the devil, everybody. Help us take it one step at a time. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen to Richard Ellis Talks. This program has always been about not only providing daily encouragement, but also daily challenge to help us grow and mature in our faith and continue being shaped into the person God desires us to be as his hands, feet, and voice to our family, neighborhood, city, and world. You know, not only is that the reason this program exists, but it's also the mission that Pastor Richard himself builds his entire life on, to clearly share the simple message of the gospel in a way that leads people to Jesus. Isn't that what our marching orders are? Now that he's victoriously been resurrected, to now live forever as our risen Savior. And that's why it's a perfect time to live out this exciting news, for us to now go do Easter together. So a very generous Richard Ellis Talks friend of the program has offered a $50,000 Now Let's Go Do Easter challenge, ready and waiting to automatically and fully match any new financial gift. The impact of your new gift of any amount will be automatically doubled up to $50,000. So it's a perfect time to live out our great commission, for us to now go do Easter together. What a creative way to double the impact of your great commission contribution. Just go to the website right now, richardellistalks.com, and join others today to have your new one-time or ongoing gift fully matched, doubling your support. The website, richardellistalks.com. So as we wrap up, thank you for listening today. Thank you for praying for Richard. And thank you for considering to join the Great Commission Matching Gift Challenge at richardellistalks.com. And we'll be honored to join you next time for more Richard Ellis Talks.